So, parallel I/O is a pain because when people defined I/O and wrote it all up, they didn't allow for parallel I/O. And so the sort of semantics of I/O does not allow parallelism. So there are various aspects to parallel I/O. The most interesting aspects, which a lot of people work on, which is the sort of how to do parallel I/O, because in principle parallel I/O is essential. You have a parallel machine, maybe each node of that parallel machine has its own disk. That's certainly true, say, of our SP2. There's lots of separate disks on each node. And then you want to access a file, and that file is going to be broken up and stored on those disks. So Alec Chowdhury and his students did an awful lot of excellent work on finding out how to do that in an efficient fashion, because the particular disk on a given processor may not hold the right data for that processor. So there's a lot of work on essentially how to store data optimally on a set of disks so that when you access it, you have an efficient access. So that's a pretty interesting, there's a whole effort headed by Paul Messina at Caltech, who used to be my colleague there, which is the so-called Scalable I/O Initiative, which is addressing a lot of those issues, and they have a set of primitive routines. Now there's a more amusing question, which was a sort of a high point of a conference in Pasadena in 1992, where my student John Salmon, well, he wasn't my student at that time, but he used to be my student, got up and asked what does printf mean, which is the standard C print routine. And it turns out that the meaning of printf in some sense is undefined in the parallel domain. And it's still undefined in the parallel domain. There is no meaning to the word in some sense. It's not a well-defined concept. So, you know, when we built, if you read our old book, Solving Problem on Parallel Processors, we actually defined something which I still think was a pretty good idea, which is actually John Salmon's idea, which was a modification of the Unix print statements for parallelism, which actually made it well defined. And so what happened in those days, we used to build machines which had the host node model. You had one processor called the host, and it controlled a bunch of other processors, and the only way they talked to the outside world was typically through the host. And so printf on a node or a parallel machine really meant don't execute the Unix printf. It said send a message to processor zero, which, or the host, which they sometimes were the same, sent out that message. So the true Unix printf was sequentialized because everything got sent to a single processor. So that had, for instance, so we then actually defined, if you have Unix, there are various I/O modes, and we introduced this concept of singular and multiple I/O modes, which were meant to tell the program whether you wanted, whether you did. So when you're in that hello world, in the version that John Salmon wrote, you could actually do hello world on every node, say that it was singular mode, and then it would actually only get one copy, because it would know that that was a replicated hello world, and it should just take one copy. So that's actually like HPF. HPF, if you printed out hello world, you would get one copy. And so we defined a message passing environment which had, if you defined everything to be singular, you'd get one copy. Then there was a multiple mode, which is when you'd get multiple copies, a separate copy from each node. And that we did by extending the file modes. But that didn't catch on. And in fact, there's been a change, because in the days we used to do that, you did not have Unix on every node. You used to have, remember, I think I told you, we only had 128 kilobytes of memory, and so we were not allowed to put Unix on every node. So we actually modified the Unix standard I/O package so that there was that the printf in that did not print anything out, but just actually sent a message. However, today